The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there. Also, the live video stream is up on the website as well. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Wednesday. Come on now.
Well, it's Pop Day.
Yes, it is.
On the Joe Pags Show.
Uh-huh. Carrie, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Making it happen or what?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, sure am.
The question people want to know from you, and we'd like to have an answer, is do you have enough wine for us all?
I do not. That was just
Why
for
is
me.
That every post that you ever made?
It is not every post.
It was a cute
post. I posted
post,
something yesterday.
I would say we did a study. We did a study.
We did
a survey right before the program, and It turns out 50% of your posts include wine. And we're wondering
what the story is. Maybe it has something to do with somebody I work with.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
Hey, it's a fun date night. Everything's a date night with you and Mario. So you guys ever do anything
that?
Other than date night?
What is the matter with that? When's the last time you took your wife out on a date?
Here's the problem. She doesn't want me to.
See, that's the difference. I understand.
Yeah. You actually want Mario to take you out. See, that's a different story completely. Yeah. So we'll do a study on why that is in my house. But in the meantime, glad to be back. And you know why I like today? Because I'm pretty sure that Roseanne is on tonight, right? And then I can, after we get off, can chill out and watch a little Roseanne.
Roseanne's not on anywhere.
You cannot watch Roseanne tonight.
And that sounds nothing like that theme song.
That's exactly the song.
It's not.
No. No, that's not it either.
That's not the laugh. No.
Watch me some Roseanne. Love me some Roseanne. Gonna watch tonight. Woo!
You cannot.
All right. So we're gonna have it the next hour. It'll be hour number two. We'll have Ted Nugent because yesterday Ted texted me immediately when the whole Roseanne thing went down. And I gotta tell Carrie, you know, I don't take much time off.
I know.
So I take off, and one of my favorite shows and one of my favorite people is suddenly canceled and out of a job, and I don't know what the hell's going on. And Ted's like blowing up my phone going, dude, what the hell is going on? So now we ended up yelling the F word at each other on a phone, and then we took it down a notch, and we didn't use the F word in the interview that you'll hear next hour.
Good deal.
But, I mean, he's got a very direct response to it, and I can understand why. He, like Roseanne, is always the target of the left, of the progressive left in this country. And they're always looking for a reason. And what's interesting about Ted is there are three things that people say every time they want nobody to pay attention to him. Because what he says is truth. So instead of actually debating, and you and I have talked about this a million times. Instead of debating the actual facts, what they say is he's a draft dodger that pooped his pants so he didn't have to get drafted to Vietnam. You've heard that many times, right? Adopted an underage girl so he could have sex with her. That was the second one.
Yeah.
And what's the third one? That he's on the board of directors of the NRA? Is that the third one? Or is the third one something else? They also say that he's a drug-induced, no-good, rock and roll alcoholic from the 60s or something. And he says he's never taken a drug, and I've never seen any proof that he has, and that he doesn't drink alcohol and never has. In fact, he made the hard decision not to, even if he was tempted by it, when he saw people like Jimi Hendrix just die from it. So those are the three things they say. Ted actually does tackle the poop the pants Vietnam story. And he posted it on his Facebook, and I shared it on my Facebook. So if people want to go and read that and get the real true story of where that even came from and why it's even a thing, go and check it out. Because, I mean, again, they're always going to look for a reason. You can't listen to Roseanne or like her show because clearly now she's a racist. That's what everybody is saying. And we're going to talk at length about it. Now, some people tweeted me or sent me an email about what Mike Opelka said yesterday. Let me be as clear as I can. Mike is a friend. He's a very good talk show host. So I think he should have a daily talk show, to be honest, as long as it's not my time period. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He is, and it doesn't matter to me if he agrees or disagrees with me. In fact, it's a pleasure to have somebody who's willing to take a different stance as long as he's intelligent about it. A lot of times people who disagree with me aren't intelligent about it. Now, I don't know because I didn't listen what it is that he said or what people think we disagree about, but I bet if Mike and I talked, we probably do agree on most things when it comes to what happened yesterday. So I am going to rehash some things that you've already heard. I am going to talk about some of what went down yesterday. And I'm going to talk about why Roseanne should not have been fired or the show should have been canceled. Now, if you were busy and doing other stuff and didn't pay any attention, Carrie, you'll correct me if I'm wrong about any of this. Okay. Oh, Bob, can I just go off on a tangent for a second? I am sick and tired of the Warriors and the Cavaliers in the freaking finals of the NBA. Can we just stop it? Houston, you were so close. So close. I mean, Houston was up 3-2 over the Warriors and could have closed them out in Game 6 or Game 7. So close. And then Boston, I mean, they were young. I didn't think Boston was going to beat LeBron James anyway, but oh my goodness, I'm so sick and tired of seeing those two teams. Especially, and listen, we're on in the area in Northern California where they love their Warriors, and I get it because I love my Spurs. But man, I got to tell you, the Warriors play with more arrogance, conceit, and showmanship, I mean, not even showmanship, but what's the word? Bad sportsmanship that I've ever seen out of any team ever. And they're talented. You might have the best shooters in the NBA on that team, but man, the arrogance and the negativity and the shimmying and the fact that the commentators on the broadcast think that that's cool to shimmy. You know who never shimmied? Michael Jordan. Now, he might have pumped a fist or got in your face a little bit, but it wasn't this shimmying, and it wasn't this conceit and arrogance. It's weird. It's weird, and it's not fun, and it's not great, and it's not playful. It's over the top. There's something wrong that you keep on playing like that, and it just makes me want them to lose. But I got to be, can I be honest, Carrie? Can I be honest for once? Because I'm usually not honest with you.
I know. It's true. You lie all the time.
It's not true. I'm always honest with you. The Warriors are going to win. They're going to win rather easily.
So,
because on the Cavaliers, you've got LeBron James and maybe Kevin Love, if he's not injured. I guess he had a concussion or something, but I don't think there's any chance for LeBron to win. And then you're gonna have another whole offseason of these unbelievably arrogant players from Golden State. I wish they would just play and show some humility just a little bit. And would say, you know, what's the oddest thing to me is they're interviewed after the game and they show humility and they're actually kind of kind. But during the game, when you act like that, you're teaching the young people who watch you to act like idiots and ass wagons out there on the basketball court, too. Sorry, that's what's really going on. I digress. So I decided to shave yesterday, and I don't know why. And that's important. I know that you wondered.
I was not wondering that, actually.
Yes, you were.
I was not.
Liar!
I wasn't even thinking about it.
So you wondered if I shaved. No, I didn't shave on Saturday or Sunday or Monday, but I took Tuesday off as well. Now it's good and scruffy, and decided that I would avoid the impending ingrown hair that we all know I was going to get. And I would shave the beard, and I did, and I shaved it, and it turns out it was prescient somehow because I ended up doing a Facebook Live for about 18 minutes that got a really big reaction on Roseanne Barr. It's important to note, for those who don't know, Roseanne has been on my show. She was on in 2012. She was running for president. I thought it might have been a joke. Turns out she was pretty serious about it. Now, she had no chance. And fortunately or unfortunately, the two main parties only have the chance. But she was running for president. She thought she could make a difference. And I invited her on the show, and she said no. And then I think she's got a son-in-law or somebody or a stepson or somebody who lives in San Antonio who was familiar with the show and familiar with the fact that I'm fair with my people that I interview. And after vetting me properly, she came on. We did a nice phone interview. It's a good 10-minute long interview, maybe longer. And she was really, really cool. And it was very nice to talk with her on a level away from comedy. Now, the reason I wanted to talk to her wasn't necessarily because she was running for president, but that was fine. It was also, in this day and age of political correctness, how can you be a comedian? How can you be funny? And then she ended up showing up on Last Comic Standing. She was a judge on there. She started coming back into prominence and showing up on her television again a lot. And then, lo and behold, Roseanne's going to come back. The TV show will come back after a 20-year hiatus or whatever it was. And the excitement was palpable. I invited her back on the show. Last year, she said maybe after the beginning of the year. Didn't come together. I don't know if she's going to come on again, you know, anytime soon. But she and I still tweet each other and retweet. And then I've direct messaged her a few times. And she responded over on Twitter. So we have a relationship, although I've never met her. And I don't really know her other than the conversation we had on the show. So those are the ground rules. I've been a Roseanne fan for a long time. In fact, in 1998, I think it was 98, might have been 99, Jenny and I went to California with my sister and brother-in-law, and we went and watched her talk show. I think it was just called Roseanne. Might have been called The Roseanne Show. I'm not sure. But that was cool to see her as a talk show host and you know, talking to the audience and everything else. And we've been fans a long time. So when the show came back and did such good business, even though the character was a Trump supporter, and then it turns out on Twitter and elsewhere, she proved that she was, in fact, a Trump supporter on Jimmy Fallon. Yes, I'm a Trump supporter. And as that was put out there, still, the show was dominant. The people had a hunger for a middle-of-the-country, fictitious Lanford, wherever that is. It's in the middle of the country somewhere in blue-collar country. Family that might need help from the EBT or from SNAP, family that's got, you know, you got the questioning grandson, and then you got the black granddaughter, and then you've got the unmarried who is going to be a surrogate for some. I mean, just really, illegals are taking jobs over here, and then the Muslim family shows up over there. I mean, she's just hitting points, man. She's hitting points that we all have thought about, that we've all actually probably opined about, if not on a radio talk show or television talk show like this, at least in our private lives with our family and our friends. These are issues that people want to see explored. And these are issues that most in the mainstream are afraid to explore because they'll be called racist or something else, homophobic or something, Islamophobic, fill in the blank. Roseanne, hashtag Roseanne don't care. We talked about, Carrie, we talked about this. Hashtag she don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we have.
Yesterday probably should have cared.
Yeah.
And you know that I don't necessarily focus on people's looks, although I will admit, right or wrong, I do call Michael Moore the fat guy. Because to me, he's just a big, fat, blabbermouth guy who's a hypocrite, $5 million mansion as he's pretending like he cares about, you know, schools in Flint. Having said that, I generally speaking don't talk about people's looks. I've never attacked Obama on his looks. I will fight back if people attack Michelle Obama on her looks. I have always been a guy who talks about the issues, the policies, and what it is I'm disagreeing with. And if looks have to come in, I probably am not standing on a good footing with my opinion on the issue. So I don't go for looks. For some reason, Roseanne was on a bit of a Twitter storm early yesterday. And the Twitter storm had to do with Soros. I think, and she can tell me if I'm wrong, I think that it started with Chelsea Clinton going overseas and denigrating the current president and about how he's changed the American presidency and he's changing America. And she, just a horrible thing to say. Chelsea Clinton is the daughter of Bill Clinton, whose history we know, and Hillary Clinton, who... from servers to insecure this and that and confidential the other thing, secretive the other. I mean, these are not great people for what they've done for this country. I, if I were her, would not go on the speaking tour, or it would be an apology tour. I'm sorry for my parents. Instead, she lives in a world where she thinks that she's somehow part of the new monarchy in America. And because she's a Clinton, that she somehow can go and beat down and talk down our country or our president. So Roseanne, I believe, was going after her by saying that she married a nephew of George Soros. Let that sink in. That's where it started. Carrie, so far I'm right. That's where it
started, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we come back, I'll pick it up from there. Roseanne tweets about how Chelsea Clinton is Chelsea Soros Clinton, or Chelsea Clinton Soros or something. And actually, she said Soros Clinton. Chelsea Clinton responds to that, and it escalates from there. We'll pick it up from there when we come back. I definitely want to hear from you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. We're coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Oh, yeah. Glad to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. The Roseanne controversy over one tweet. It was not a series of racist tweets. It was one tweet being reported as racist, but we'll break that down, too. So Roseanne goes after Chelsea Clinton, rightfully so, because Chelsea Clinton is down-talking America. Outside of America, she shouldn't be doing it inside America, but you definitely don't go overseas and do it. Chelsea Clinton lives her life as if she's somehow part of a monarchy. Her parents are not people to be proud of. Her parents were horrible when it came to running the Democrat Party, being the president while chasing around the intern, lying under oath. Turns out he's a disgusting philanderer who many women are directly accusing of rape. He's paid many of them off. Or not many of them, at least Paula Jones to the tune of $850,000, but other payoffs allegedly happened. He's accused of rape, and these women are not stopping their accusations, and the Clintons are not suing them to make them stop. So if I'm Chelsea Clinton, I'm not proud overseas acting like I'm above it all. Iran was wrong. Chelsea Clinton is not married to a Soros. George Soros is a bad guy. He's a very bad guy. He's a guy who, as a youngster, helped the Nazis round up the Jews. And Roseanne tweeted about that yesterday. It's true. He actually told CNN, I think it was Steve Croft, not CNN, 60 Minutes. He told Steve Croft, yeah, I did it. And he's telling the story with a smile. He said, yeah, what am I going to do? I helped him out, sure. So Roseanne's right about that. But to accuse Chelsea Clinton of being married to a Soros, I guess it's some internet rumor. I'd never heard it before. But it's untrue. So Roseanne apologizes about that. She says, oh, sorry about that. And although Chelsea Clinton's response, my middle name is Victoria, and I'm sure that George Soros' nephews are fine people, but I'm not married to one. You know, again, like she's above it all or something. You should walk around apologizing and begging the forgiveness of America for your horrible parents. So having said that, Roseanne then goes on about how Soros did this, helped the Nazis or whatever, which is true. Then, inexplicably, and maybe because she's tying Soros to Obama, she decides to go after Valerie Jarrett. Now, she doesn't say the name. She just uses the initials VJ. And Carrie, help me. This is in context. I'm not sure which one she said first. The tweet was, the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals VJ.
Right.
Okay. Let's break that down. I'm not going to use people say unpack for some reason lately. I'm not buying into I don't think unpacking should be a thing. Let's break it down. The Muslim Brotherhood is a group of horrible, horrible people that Valerie Jarrett, as the senior advisor to the President of the United States, helped to advise then President Barack Obama to help the uprising of the Arab Spring to completely ruin, I guess they thought it wouldn't, the Middle East. In fact, they pushed Mubarak out of Egypt and gave Egypt to the Muslim Brotherhood, who are so bad that the Egyptians had to take to their weaponry and make their military push the Muslim Brotherhood out of power so that it could be a more secular, more equal, although it's still unequal in Egypt, place to live. The Muslim Brotherhood was going to bring Sharia law on the heads of everybody, and the military pushed them out. That's how horrible these people are. So Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama and Joe Biden and down the line in that administration, they liked and favored the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, they allowed for Mubarak to be arrested, pushed out of power, and so on, and for the Muslim Brotherhood to take over. So to lob an insult about the Muslim Brotherhood on Valerie Jarrett, that's fair game. The problem comes with the Planet of the Apes reference. That's what got Roseanne Barr fired and had her show canceled. Now, we're going to break that down, too. What exactly did she mean? And did she know Valerie Jarrett is a black woman? Interesting questions that we'll answer when we come back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great radio stations all over. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Glad to have you. You go to JoePags.com. There is a cheesy video from the gym of Arm Day on Instagram. Just click on Instagram. You can go and check that out. Oh, shush. I already see you making a face. Stop
it. I'm not making a face.
Just stop it. It was Arm Day. I gave you a little bit of Arm Day. It's a video, actually. It's not even a picture. So we've got that for you, which is always fun. And also, while you're there, the live video stream is there. And it's a box to the right-hand side on your laptop or your desktop. If you're on a device, just scroll down far enough until you see the box.
It was Arm Day yesterday in that Facebook Live video, too, wasn't it?
The Facebook Live video was not on the website. Oh, no. Yeah, I had a tank top on.
Yeah.
Although the lighting in here is such that, you know, the definition is definitely better in the gym. So if you want to go see what's going on. Instagram. I'm just telling you, I looked like a slug yesterday with my tank top on. But I was not going to go iron a shirt and everything. I just wanted to get on and do it and get it done. I didn't realize I went 18 minutes. All right. Before we went to break, I asked the question, did Roseanne know that Valerie Jarrett is black? Carrie, I'm asking you, you're a news person. Did you know that?
I didn't. I never thought about her race up until everything that's happened in the last 24 hours.
Polo, did you know that Valerie Jarrett was black?
I did not.
Karina, did you know Valerie Jarrett was black?
No, I didn't.
Okay. We all do this for a living. Polo is my technical director / producer. Karina is my producer / screener. Carrie is my news anchor / sidekick. And I've been in broadcast journalism for 30 years. I had no idea Valerie Jarrett was a black woman. None. Now, I said that yesterday on a friend's Facebook page who posted something about how horrible it was. My friend happens to be black. And I answered, what if she didn't know? It's ridiculous. How could she not know? And then some idiot that used to be, he lasted like 2 weeks as the assignment editor at a TV station that I was at. And he had to be moved on because he's gay. Which is fine. I don't care if you're gay. But he was gay, and he kept on trying to assign stories that had something to do with the gay agenda. It was very strange to the point where I said, dude, you realize every story you're suggesting we do is about, he actually admitted it. But now, he was lashing out. It's a guy I haven't talked to in 20 years. He's lashing out about how he's heard my little entertainment show, and I don't know anything about anything, and I'm lying if I'm pretending I don't know who Valerie Jarrett was. I know exactly who Valerie Jarrett is. But I live in a world where I don't see people and say, all right, check mark, black. Now what does she think about politics? Now what does she think about me? Now what is she saying? No, I don't do that. Maybe you do if you're on the left. Clearly the left does, because the left loves identity politics. None of us on my staff, and Carrie, Polo, Karina, I don't care if some progressive left-wing regressive liberals listening don't believe us. I believe each of you. By the way, did I ask any of you before the show if you knew that she was black?
No.
No.
Paul, did I ask you?
No.
Karina, did I ask you? I forget.
Oh, I said no, you didn't.
Yeah, thank you. Because I didn't. We didn't even talk about this. I wanted to have a spontaneous reaction from my crew. Did they know? So when people started saying, well, first of all, ABC immediately, that's how we're canceling the show. Now, there's some rumor that the Obamas got a hold of ABC or that Jarrett did or whatever. Who knows what's true? I mean, unless I have it solid, I don't know. But with everybody who was commenting about how she had to know, there's a great guy, Rudy, who's down the hall at the sports station. Mm-hmm. He's tweeting me, you know, what do you mean? You don't think you can't say ape and black person. And I'm like, did she know Valerie Jarrett was black? Now, there really shouldn't be a question. I should be able to say Planet of the Apes about anybody I want if I'm talking about how it was a movie about a totalitarian government run by apes. And I don't know if that's what Roseanne was referencing, or she thinks Valerie Jarrett looks like somebody who could be the product of a Muslim Brotherhood and you know, somebody from Planet of the Apes. I don't know her actual intention. I do know this. Bill Maher recently and continuously compares our current president with an ape or an orangutan. he actually puts up a screen on you know, a two shut up that shows the two next to each other. I know, and you could research this. Don't listen to me. Go to Google. Look it up. There are people on the left who constantly compared George W. Bush to an ape or a chimpanzee or a monkey. They did it all the time. The reason why there is a difference when you use it in reference to somebody who's black. And, oh, by the way, I didn't know Valerie Jarrett was black. And I looked it up on Wikipedia. It turns out her parents are African-American, but she was born in Iran. So either she was Persian or Iranian, or she was American because her parents were American. And it turns out her parents were black. But if you see pictures of them, they don't necessarily look black. So, I mean, the whole thing is, and look, if you look at her right now, I still, if you, what do you think? I might say Hispanic. I might say Middle Eastern. I definitely would not, top of my head, not that I go around judging this, but if you had a gun to my head asking me, I would not say, well, clearly she's black. I don't think you know that. So my response to almost everybody yesterday when they were saying that what Roseanne said was racist, I said, how is she? I legitimately, my first responses were, how is it racist? Valerie Jarrett's not black. Now, the reason why, if you say gorilla, primate, ape, chimpanzee, orangutan, and you say it anywhere near in context with a black person, the reason why that's so bad, you know why it's so bad, Carrie?
Why?
Because you and I can agree we shouldn't do that, right?
Absolutely.
So why is that? Because if you called me a big ape, I'm cool with it. Why is it so bad if you say it to a black person? It's not really a trick question. There's a legitimate answer, and it's centuries old. And if you don't know, that's cool. And
I know.
But I'm actually using you because I know how smart you are. And the fact that you don't know tells me that what the media has done and the left has done has worked. Here's why you can't say any of those things from the monkey family in reference to a black person. Because for a century in this country, a century, at least, if not more, Democrats and the Democrat Party, when making literature for campaigns for elected office, would in the literature say that Republicans loved the slaves or the black people or the Negro, and they would draw a picture on this literature of the slave, the black person, the Negro, and the picture would be that of a monkey or an ape or some other form of that family on the primate side. The left in this country, the repressive, oppressive, segregationist, KKK, Jim Crow left in this country, started this monkey stuff. They started it. They're the reason why anybody would ever, ever get offended if somebody says monkey, ape, chimpanzee, or whatever in reference to somebody who happens to be black. The left, in its entire history, thought black people looked like apes or monkeys. And of course they don't. But we're supposed to sit back now and pretend like Roseanne did it the same way the Democrat Party did it for hundreds of years. Carrie, I asked Roseanne last night if she knew that Valerie Jarrett was black.
Mm-hmm.
And she answered me. She said, I had no idea. And then she said, but Joe, nobody's going to believe me.
Yeah.
And you know what, Carrie? She's
right.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody on the left anyway. Nobody who's in power at ABC. So the left makes this entire construct comparing black people to apes, monkeys, gorillas, whatever. They did it. They perpetrated it. They kept it going for generations of Americans. And because of that, and because they somehow were successful in pretending the left became the right and the right became the left, when Roseanne talks about Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes making a baby and it's Valerie Jarrett, it's assumed she knew Valerie Jarrett was black. Now, I am betting the vast majority of Americans had no clue this woman was black. And I thought that's where we wanted to go. I thought that's who we wanted to be. I thought we wanted to be a country that didn't change how we act or what we say or what we do, depending on skin color or background or gender or orientation. I thought that's what we were supposed to be. That's what the left keeps saying. Then the left keeps on throwing race and gender and ethnicity and orientation in our faces. And by the way, to make sure that you understand, if you didn't see my Facebook Live yesterday, I'll say it again. Roseanne's tweet was stupid. It was dumb. It was identity politics. It was an attack on somebody's looks. For whatever reason, she thought it was funny to do it. It wasn't funny. She admitted it wasn't funny. It was stupid. She admits it was stupid. I am not supporting the tweet. I am rather giving truth and reason and common sense to the fact that if she didn't know Valerie Jarrett was black, and she told me she didn't, and I believe her, then nothing she tweeted yesterday was racist by any stretch of the imagination. That's the truth. And if you can't accept that, that's your problem. Now, does ABC have the right to cancel her show? Yes. Did what she did yesterday, did it rise to the level of the show should be canceled? I don't think so, but I'm not the person at ABC who made the decision. Does this woman need to be labeled a racist for the rest of her life over a tweet where she didn't even know that the person she was tweeting about was black? Of course not. So we'll see how things shake up now. Now that you have all the information I could possibly give you, and now that you understand this exact story you thought you knew yesterday, you now have perspective on the story. Where are you today? 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. And again, in about 45 minutes, I'll have Ted Nugent on, and we'll talk about how he's been attacked for things that he said and his defense or his comments anyway on Roseanne Barr. All right, keep it here. Much more to come.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Glad to have you at the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Again, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. If you go to Instagram, expect cheesy gym videos or pictures. If you complain about it once you get there, you're an idiot. Carrie, have I not warned them?
You have, yes.
Well, then they have no excuse. No,
that's true.
All right, so I've laid it out. What I find out with every day that I live, and I've lived a long, long life now.
Long time.
What I learned, extremely long. Much younger than you. But anyway, what I learned is that the truth is important. What I've learned is that fact is important. What I've learned is it's necessary for those who want to defy the truth to figure out a reason why you're the problem. Then what's coming out of your mouth or what evidence you're presenting doesn't matter. I will not let people pretend Roseanne Barr is a racist when they don't understand what it is she did or didn't know going into that tweet. I'll say it again. What she tweeted was stupid, not funny, and she said as much. But it certainly wasn't racist. Let me go to the phone lines. Let me say hello and welcome to AJ.
Big time Motown Joe. Hey.
What my brother that? From another mother. How are you, my friend?
Oh, man, I just hope you had a great thing on Memorial Day, and it was fabulous the way our president presented our troops. And
absolutely.
This is the white guy talking to you now. This ain't the black AJ. This is the white AJ.
But for those who don't understand the reference, AJ's been calling my show for 8 or 9 or 10 years, and we're friends. We know each other off the air. And people still say that he's a white guy trying to sound black. It is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. AJ, but the truth will always set us free. You know, what do you think about this whole Roseanne thing, man? Talk to me.
Well, the thing of it is, big time Motown, everybody that's throwing all the punches, especially black folks, you got to understand, just like you explained to everybody, how all this got started by the Democrat Party. And even as we speak now, over in Africa, they still have slaves in which the Africans back in the day sold them to the white folks, okay? If you want to put blame. But at the same time, you black folks can't keep running around calling each other these names as the white folks called them in the past. But now it's okay for them to use them names. But if a white folk use the name, oh, you want to break their necks. Now, come on now. You can't have it both ways. You got to stop to make it a representation of them to stop. You want them to stop. And then don't get all out of bed out of shape every time somebody go off the, you know, the rocker as she did, and Al Sharpton make money off of you and using you like bimbos. I'm just going to put it that way. You've been bamboozled, and Al Sharpton and the rest of the race baiters are bamboozling y'all. And this is why.
Well, AJ, I want to say this, and I think you know this about me. If I ever saw or heard somebody call you one of those names, I would defend you until we all got bloody. I would, because it would be wrong. But here's the simple fact. Valerie Jarrett, if you just had a gun to your head and had to decide what race she was, doesn't necessarily look black. Most people I know didn't know she was black. And Roseanne told me directly she didn't know she was black. So if somebody makes that statement to you, I'm going to go after them. If they make it about somebody you don't know what their race is, and Roseanne says she didn't know what the race was, you can't assume racism, can you?
No, because big time, I'm going to be truthful with you. I didn't know she was black. I thought she was, like you said, from over there. But I thought when you, now get this one, when you're born in that country, you're born like they born here, they be born American. If you're born over there, you're born what? Get me straight.
Well, no. She without a doubt is Iranian by birth, but both of her parents were American, so probably had dual citizenship. She speaks Farsi, she speaks French, and to me, she doesn't necessarily have the features you would expect somebody who's African American to have. So it is an easy mistake to make to not know what race. You didn't even know what race she is. Nobody that I've talked to knew what race she was. Now the left is acting like everybody knew she was a black woman. I didn't know it.
But real quick, hey, big time, you seen me and they still don't know what race I am.
Come on, man. I love you too, AJ. All right, we'll talk to you soon. AJ is the best kind of guy, man. He's the kind of guy you want to sit around with and talk to for hours. And away from the radio, it's even better than it is on the radio. And on the radio is pretty great. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Doug is in Minnesota. Doug, talk to me. What's going on? Hey, man, living the dream. What's happening?
AJ hit it on the head. And as far as this whole racial thing, let's try divide and conquer. And that makes a whole lot more sense to me. I have black friends. And the people who don't have black friends and the blacks that don't have white friends don't understand. They don't understand that we look at things the same. We don't look at each other and see color. We see another human being. That's the last thing we look at. And as far as this Roseanne thing, you know, if that woman belonged in the Trump campaign, nothing would have been said about it.
Oh, no, she would have been applauded by the left. Absolutely would have been applauded. I appreciate you, Doug. You're right. Robert, also in Minnesota. Robert, what's going on? Quickly.
Hey, sticking out from Minnesota. Hey, Morgan Freeman, you want to stop racism? Stop talking about it. He tore Don Lemon a new one about that one. Pretty simple.
But you have to talk about it when a woman loses her job and has her show canceled because of something that was assumed to be wrong.
And I agree. And you and Carrie are good. The whole thing, if her parents are Iranian, then I wouldn't say that she's black. So...
No, her parents aren't Iranian. Robert, I appreciate you. Her lineage, according to Wikipedia, I don't know this firsthand. Wikipedia says so we'll go with that. Her Wikipedia says mom and dad were both African-American who moved to Iran to do some sort of work, and she was born there. So by birth, she's Iranian, also American, also by her parentage and her lineage, African-American, who knew? Keep it here. Much more to come.
This is the Joe Pags Show. Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. All of that and more right there. Also on Newsmax TV, glad to have you along for the ride. It's the Joe Pags Show for a Wednesday. Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, yeah. That's Carrie Lockie, my news anchor. General pain in my ass.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, I like this jam. I'm going to do Cabbage Patch it.
No, please, stop.
Hold on.
You're embarrassing all
there
of us.
It is. Running Man?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. All right, we're doing it on a Wednesday. Glad to have you here. Polo actually had to catch me earlier because I tried to play the Monday song. And he was like, yeah, no, that would be bad.
Hello.
Yeah, this I got to tell you, this isn't bad. This is, I guess, how you feel every week. Because I haven't had a three-day week like this.
It's nice, isn't it?
In a long time.
You should do more of these. Yes.
I am completely down for, I should be Polo and Karina's show or something Monday and Tuesdays.
Hey, I'm down for that.
Polo, you down for that? What the hell, right?
Sure.
Polo's like, no, I'm not even going to answer it.
Sure.
All right, so we've got a lot going on, lots to get to, lots to talk about. If you missed the first hour, what the hell's the matter with you? I mean, the show's 3 hours long.
Yeah, it was a good
one. We started at 6 o'clock Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific. And then we go until 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, and then figure out your time zone in between. We actually happen to be in Central Time, so we're 5 to 8 p.m. Mountain, we're not forgetting about you. We love you, Mountain. Don't we love the Mountain Time?
Love Mountain Time. You bet.
4 to 7 Mountain Time. Oh, yeah. We're bringing the Mountain home.
Mm-hmm.
We are down at the Mountain.
Yes, we are.
Mountain Time.
Oh,
No idea why it's Mountain Time. All right, so we're talking about Roseanne. We have to talk about Roseanne. I wasn't on yesterday. She and I are buds. I've interviewed her once. Mm-hmm. We don't hang out. We don't live near each other. At least she's in Hawaii. I'm in Texas. But we've certainly been friends on Twitter, on social media for a long time. Tweets a lot of my stuff. I retweet a lot of her stuff. We do direct message each other. And if you missed it last hour, I asked her directly, did you know? And this is before she said anything about it publicly. Did you know Valerie Jarrett was black? Because I didn't know. Carrie didn't know, Paula didn't know, Karina didn't know, and I have yet to have one person tweet me or email me that they knew that she was black. And people are still confused about it. Let me give you what Wikipedia says about Valerie Jarrett. And I'll read it right from there instead of me just paraphrasing. Let me just read it. And again, Wikipedia can be adjusted, can be changed, and can be incorrect. But this listing has a lot of sightings, which means they actually footnote it and they show us where they get the information. Valerie June Jarrett is an American attorney, businesswoman, and civic leader. She served as the senior advisor to the President of the United States and assistant to the President for public engagement and intergovernmental affairs in the Obama administration from January 20th, 2009 to January 20th, 2017. In fact, Newsmax, if you want to see this, I'll give this to you on my second source, and you can put that up there if you'd like. All right? It goes on to say that prior to that, she served as co-chair of the Obama-Biden transition project. You scroll down. Jarrett was born in Shiraz, Iran. Now, this is what many people are focusing on. They're saying, hey, she's Persian. She's Iranian. Well, by birth and by birthright, it appears she is Iranian. But also because her parents were both American, and they could still be. I don't know if they're dead or alive. Then she's also an American, because if you're born of American parents, obviously if you happen to be on vacation and have a baby, the baby's not American. But she was born in Iran during the Pahlavi dynasty, I guess, to American parents James E. Bowman and Barbara Taylor Bowman. One of her maternal grandfathers, Robert Robinson Taylor, was an architect who was the first accredited African-American architect and the first African-American student enrolled at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Her father, a pathologist and geneticist, ran a hospital for children in Shiraz in 1956 as part of a program where American physicians and agricultural experts sought to help in the health and farming efforts of developing countries. When she was 5 years old, the family moved to London for a year, later moving to Chicago in 1963. Her parents were both African-American. Okay? Now, she was also on some show called Finding Your Roots. Genealogical research and DNA testing indicated that she's also French, Scottish, and Native American in ancestry. Spoke Farsi and French. Here's a picture of Valerie Jarrett. I look at that picture, I do not say, oh, there's an African-American woman. I don't think that anybody who's not some sort of a stark racist walks around going, black person, black person, French, Persian, Middle Eastern, black, a Native American or American Indian, Asian, definitely Asian. I don't think people do that. I don't think anybody does that. I'm going to go back to Carrie here. So the idea that Roseanne inherently knew Valerie Jarrett was black, and that's why what she said was racist, is it doesn't make sense, to be honest with you. And I asked her directly last night on Twitter, and before she told anybody else, she said, I did not know she was black, but nobody's going to believe me. And I said, well, millions do. Millions do believe you. Now, if you didn't see last hour, hear last hour. If any of you think this is just the 1 hour that we do the show, it's not. I said this then, I'll say it again, and Rosanna said it too. What a dumb tweet. Just a dumb tweet. She basically said the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby, and it's Valerie Jarrett. Dumb tweet, not funny. It was an unfunny tweet. Certainly one that she would take back if she could, but it's already been sent out there. But I, because I didn't, look, my initial tweets, which I have not taken down, they're still up there, were, what are you talking about? How is it racist? Valerie Jarrett's not black. I didn't know she was, which I thought was a good thing. I thought the left wanted us not to know what somebody's race is, what somebody is, somebody's ethnicity is. Because if you treat people differently on the basis of their race, their ethnicity, their gender, their sexual orientation, if you treat people differently, then you're a bad guy, aren't you? Aren't you then a racist? If you treat people differently on the... So you want us to treat everybody the same, but you need us to know exactly what race or ethnicity or nationality everybody is? How's that possible? You know, if you're watching on television, you see my name is Joe Pags Pagliarulo. In Italian, it's Pagliarulo. Oh, yeah. So, obviously, I'm Italian. What else am I? Now, Carrie, Polo, Karina, don't say if you remember. I've said it before. But what else am I? You tell me. And if you don't freaking know, that you hate my people. And you're a racist or ethnocentric. You better know. Because if you don't, you're bad. Now, if Roseanne knows that she's black and talks about Planet of the Apes, would you say, Polo thinks I'm Italian and stubborn. That's actually pretty close. Mm. It's not bad.
That's true.
What? I'm sorry, Carrie, did you have a comment too? Did you want to chime in all of a sudden?
I said that's true.
Insult the host? Let's play insult the host.
Yes, I was agreeing with Polo.
Let's play that game. That's a fun one.
That's fun. I like that one.
No, it's not. No, let's play who drank more wine over the weekend.
No.
Let's play that one.
No, I don't want to play that one.
Ah, because Carrie would be the winner. Ding, ding, ding. Mm. All right. Are you that way? I think you think you're that way. Either way. At the end of this, had she known she was black and made a comparison to her being the offspring of an ape or apes or Planet of the Apes, yes, it's a racist thing to say. And the reason why it's racist is because the Democrat Party in this country, for over a century, some would say centuries, when they were making literature, pushing for a candidate running for elected office, they would depict the Republican as some sort of a slave or ape or gorilla lover. They would depict a slave or an African-American person as a gorilla, as an ape, as a chimpanzee, as a monkey. They would do it. So because of this visualization and comparison that the Democrat Party has historically made to black people, and I don't see any feature of a black person that looks anything remotely like a monkey or in that family. But because they made that comparison, now you can't say anything about apes, primates, orangutans. You can't say anything about monkeys or chimps when it comes to anybody who might be black. That was a visual and a definition put in place by the left, the same Democrats that founded the KKK, the same Democrats that did all the lynchings, the same Democrats that owned all the slaves at the time of the Civil War. Not one Republican owned a slave when the Civil War broke out. Not one. The same Democrats that did Jim Crow and did segregation. The same Democrats that took slaves from the plantation to the urban plantation and have them under control now. The Democrats did this. Yet somehow, I got to tell you, man, it was ingenious. Somehow, they were able to pretend it was a conservative or a Republican thing. And because the conservative that they all hated was succeeding so much on television, Roseanne, said something about Planet of the Apes and Valerie Jarrett that nobody knew was black, now she's the racist. And that's why she got canceled. And that's why she got fired. And it's unjust. Was it a funny tweet? No. Does she have the right to say it? Yes. Should she have done it? No. Do I believe in attacking somebody on their looks? No. I don't play that game. I talk about their politics, their ideas, their thoughts, their opinions. I don't care what they look like necessarily. So now that you know the real story, does it change how you feel about the entire thing? Now, Carrie, when we started the show tonight, you were pretty firm that, yeah, you get why she was fired.
Yes.
I don't know if you agreed with it, but after I've explained what I've explained, and I think you believe what I've said to be true, do you still think that it was okay for her to get fired?
Probably not. If what she says is true, that thought she was white or Iranian or whatever story that I read today, or Persian.
And again, she is Iranian because she was born there, but she's also American and her parents are both black. So, I mean, if she didn't know, and look, I can completely accept you or anybody else saying if, because you really don't know. I mean, I believe her because she told me.
Yeah.
Right. And you don't know. So if, and it's an important word, she didn't know the race of Valerie Jarrett, is it at all a racist statement?
Then I would say no.
I would say no as well. But I've been saying no from the beginning because I asked her early on, and I believe her. Now, I like Roseanne a lot. If she would have said, yeah, I knew she was black, so what? Then I have a different opinion of it.
Yeah.
And I would be against what she said, and I would understand even more what happened. Yeah. I don't understand what happened this way. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Let's take a break. Be back right after this.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. The Joe Pags Show on your radio, on your television. We appreciate you. JoePags.com. Go there. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, keep in mind, and Carrie, they've been forewarned. If you go to my Instagram,
I know. People.
You got cheesy gym photos. Today, you have a cheesy gym video of me doing it. It was arm day.
Yeah.
And I actually had to stop. I thought that I was going to burst through the skin. That's how strong the arms were getting today. So, yeah, what?
I haven't seen the video. Mean. I haven't seen the video.
Yeah, no, do not look because you're going to make me go right for more wine. Straight to the wine cabinet. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Bottom of this hour, it'll be the Motor City Madman. It'll be Ted Nugent, his own self. When the Roseanne story broke yesterday, he immediately texted me. Give me a call. So I called him and they were, you know, you're yelling the F word at each other. And we're just trying to figure out how it is that the left got so much power in this country. They could twist anything, change anything, make anything, you know, the topic or the narrative they want, and then squash somebody who's doing so well like Roseanne. And again, dumb tweet, didn't make any sense, don't know why you go after somebody's looks, but not racist. And if it's not racist, and it wasn't, in my firm belief, then she should not have been canceled, fired, or touched. Doesn't make any sense to me. So again, stick around for Ted Nugent, bottom of the hour, good long interview where we talk about this stuff. And I think that we bring even more clarity. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you taking the time. Let me say hi to Patty in Minnesota. Patty, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, how's it going?
You rock, Patty. I'm living a dream. What's going on?
Anyways, I didn't know Valerie Jarrett wasn't black. I really didn't. And not only that, who cares? You know, Roseanne said some really stupid things, and Joe, you correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like that every time the person on the right puts their foot in their mouth, the left is there to attack them, cancel their show, yep. Jump up and down, call all of their sponsors, and carry on just ridiculously. But when somebody on the left puts their foot in their mouth, we all shut up and don't say a doggone thing. Well, you know, it's freedom of speech and stuff. You know, Joe, I'm so sick and tired of it, and I think that's part of why Donald Trump got elected is because he said, hey, you know what, screw you.
Let me compare it this way, Patty, because I think you bring up a great point. The NFL players that are kneeling are disrespecting the flag, the anthem, the country, the soldiers that died to protect our freedoms, right?
Yes.
We speak out against them, we're racist, and we're anti-First Amendment. Just let that sink in. They're doing a horrific thing, an unpatriotic, disgusting thing, sullying our country for the world to see. Roseanne says something about Valerie Jarrett, who she didn't know was black, and she's immediately a racist, immediately off the air, immediately loses her income, and immediately is scorned and thrown in the corner.
Right.
That's exactly what you just said, and you're 100% right.
You know, Joel, all day long, all I've heard about is, all I've heard on the radio is what a communist she is and what an awful person she is, and she deserves this. And I'm talking about talk radio conservative.
It's why you listen to my show, because I actually speak the truth. Patty hung up. Patty's, you know what she said, Carrie? She said, I am out.
Drop the mic.
If there are conservative talk radio hosts out there calling her a communist and a horrible person and a racist, you didn't ask Roseanne. I mean, I'm not special. I mean, of course I am. But I mean, no, what I'm saying is, it didn't take that much to figure out whether she did or didn't know. I can tell you, Carrie, I don't think that others in the media wanted to know. Because if they find out that she didn't know Valerie Jarrett was black, then they find out that she's not racist, then they have to report the truth. It's easier to not report the truth. Later in the hour, if we have time, and if we don't, we'll do it next hour. Did you see the truth about what Morgan Freeman said to that pregnant reporter?
I did. Yeah, I saw that one.
I mean,
I started to sue CNN over that.
I mean, he is. He's threatening to sue CNN now. This woman, like an idiot, shows up on CNN and brings the actual videotape of what he said and the context in which he said it. Not only was it innocuous, it wasn't even about her. It was about Michael Caine. We'll talk about that too. But again, you can't really put the real story out there because then the controversy goes away. Then the ratings go away and the social media following goes away, which is nuts to me. Let me go to Mike, who's in Fresno. And get, hey, Mike, guess what?
Yes, sir.
Starting next week, we're going to be on the radio there.
What channel?
We are going to be on KALZ, and it's 1400 AM, and it's also, I think, 97.4 FM, some or 97.3 FM, I think. But we're going to start next week on the 6th, whatever day that is of next week. So we're excited as hell, man. 6 o'clock at night, you'll hear the radio show.
Our time. Looking forward to it, Joe. Look, I've never heard Roseanne discriminate on her jokes based on religion, sexual orientation, or political parties, but check this out. Racism goes way beyond skin color, Joe. It goes to the heart, and ask the Motor City Madman this question for me. The only way we can get together when we play music when we don't see colors, when we shut our eyes and groove, brother. Why can't we do that?
Well, that's exactly what he's been doing for, he says, 60 years now. And almost 7,000 concerts, Carrie.
Wow.
That's nuts,
a lot.
Isn't it? It is KALZ, and we want to thank our good friend Greg out there. Power Talk 96.7 FM at 1400 AM. And we'll start that on the 6th of June, 6 p.m. in Fresno and Visalia, California. So really excited as hell to be out there, and we appreciate you guys. I got about a minute for you, Mark, if you can make it happen. Minute, go.
Yo, I listen to your show. I agree with you about 85% of the time, but on the Roseanne, I beg to differ on issues, because I tell you why. You say you never didn't know anybody was black. I knew she was black. And the thing is, going to that, you know, even with that little bit that you explained, you know, for, you know, decades, a lot of black people have been referred to some supremacist. Before I go on, racism goes both ways. You know, there's black racist, white.
Mark, I don't know what you're talking about. You said that you knew Valerie Jarrett was black, but you're not Roseanne. Roseanne says she didn't know.
But you know what? That's what she said. She also blamed.
So you don't believe her?
Yeah, you know what? I don't believe her. Here's the thing. I do believe that she.
You don't have to. I do.
Okay, well, we beg to differ.
Oh, I've seen a picture. You've seen a picture. You saw a picture of Valerie Jarrett, and you thought she was black. Are you serious?
Yes, I follow politics. You want to ask me?
No, I don't think you know who Valerie Jarrett is then, because I think you're dead wrong. Most people that I've taught, you're the only person who has said, even AJ, who also happens to be black, has said he had no idea. What's that?
Okay, you remember the lady in Flashdance, Jennifer Bales. There's people black.
Yes, I got to run. I love you. I'm out of time. We'll do Ted Nugent when we come back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV, the Joe Pags Show on your radio, on your television, and always glad to have back the Motor City Madman, rock and roll legend, NRA board member, father of the year, and law enforcement officer. It's Ted Nugent. Ted, how are you?
And the funniest comedian since Richard Pryor. Hallelujah.
Can you say that? Are you allowed to compare yourself to Richard Pryor? I'm not sure.
I can. I'm trying to get my afro to ignite, but I can't seem to get it because, I don't know, he was better than I am. He's a better comedian.
We're already starting to trend, and I haven't aired the interview yet. Okay, here's the thing, Ted. You and I, here we are in the jungle of life, a couple of freaking apes. You're what, 6'2", 6'3", I'm 6'1". We're virile, strong men, apes in the jungle. You know, Ted, the fact that I just called us apes in the jungle twice actually had some people in America listening and watching cringe. They cringe because they've been indoctrinated and they've been they have been scientifically altered by the left to believe if you say ape, primate, chimpanzee, orangutan, or gorilla, you're a racist. Help me understand, Ted Nugent.
You know, it really is bizarro world. You know, I'm entering my 70th summer. Say wow. Hallelujah, like you
Hallelujah.
Beat it. And you could probably hear that whenever I talk to you and I celebrate truth, logic, and common sense, the American way, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, and all those things that make America so desirable for our fellow human beings.
Yes.
that I find, Joe, that it's not just a Joe Pags and an Uncle Ted boogie. All across this great land, there are really intelligent, educated, historically aware, and current events aware, working hard, playing hard Americans. And I got to tell you, I'm about to do my 6,000. This really is an accurate number. I go all the way back to the 1950s where I played sock hops and pool parties in Detroit.
So
and I'm
cool,
about
man.
To do my 6,700th concert this summer. And so you're on the phone with probably, you know, I would say maybe the most gregarious guy in the world that has shared more campfires, both literally and figuratively. And Joe, I've never met a racist. I got Marco Mendoza, my bass player, one of the most incredible virtuosos, is a 100% Mexican guy. Johnny Gunnell, who I share with John Mellencamp, is one of the greatest bass players in the world. He's my fellow black man. He's an African. He's a soul brother, a funk brother.
Yeah.
I was raised on Motown music, and I was welcomed into those camps. And I have, for 6,700 concerts, praised and worshipped the Chuck Berrys and the Bo Diddleys and the Little Richards, and I've hung with every imaginable ethnicity, religious, gender affiliation. I've hung with them all, Joe.
Yeah.
I know that racism exists. There still is some, you know, brain dead goofballs in the Klan, I guess.
Right.
That still think that betting is a current attire. But I gotta tell you the indecency, the dishonesty of leveling the race card so often is just heartbreaking, because I'm going to travel to 60 cities this summer, and you know what I'm not going to see? Racism.
Yeah. Now, it's Ted Nugent. Go to tednugent.com, at Ted Nugent on all the social media. He's a New York Times bestselling author. The current tour, you've got to make sure you go check it out, is The Music Made Me Do It. Let's break this down. Roseanne Barr is somebody from middle America who made it big. She was in an abusive relationship, somehow came out of it. She was a darling of the left until she said, I'm not left, I'm right. She reboots her television show to the highest ratings we've seen from a sitcom in a very, very long time. And the left is in a freaking tizzy. They have to do something to identify her as the bad guy and get her off the air. They succeeded because I think she didn't think smart enough before she sent out a tweet. But let's break down what she does, Ted, because you immediately texted me after we saw this go down. Valerie Jarrett is not a good person when it comes to politics. Valerie
She's
Jarrett,
anti-American.
Right, absolutely. America. Well, I agree with you. And what she and Obama tried to do, and she was the special advisor, the top senior advisor to President Obama for all 8 years. Okay, I don't know her ethnicity. I'm looking at her picture right now. I don't know her race. The fact that she's black is startling to me. And I asked Roseanne last night, and she and I know each other, and she said, I had no idea, Joe, but nobody's going to believe me that I didn't know that she was black. Now, let's break down why it matters, Ted, and I'm going to shut up so you can illuminate and enlighten all of us. Why it matters that she's black, because the left, for some reason, thinks that apes or gorillas or chimpanzees or orangutans somehow resemble black people, because I don't see it. I don't get it, but that's what the way I'm supposed to live. Ted Nugent, if I know somebody's black, I can't say anything about that animal family. If I do, I'm racist. What did I miss?
Well, you know, I used to. Well, I have a. Let me put it in a real glaring perspective, okay. Shall we?
Yeah.
I've had a charity called the Ted Nugent Camp for Kids for 28 years.
Right.
And we have graduated over 16,000 young boys and girls between the ages of 7 and 15, all across this country, 16,000 of them, Joe, for 28 years. And they're all from every imaginable walk of life. And you know what I call them? And I don't care what race they are, ethnicity they are. When it's time to have our big barbecue in the afternoon and shoot our bows and arrows and learn about fishing and learn about conservation and being clean and sober and being the best that you can be, the rallying cry of all my directors and all my volunteers are, all right, you little monkeys, let's gather around the campfire. We're going to have ourselves a barbecue party with Uncle Ted. I just don't know at what juncture such general terms of cuteness. I mean, it's harmless, cute terms
right.
of calling kids monkeys. I raised a bunch of kids, and I still got a whole army of grandkids, and I reference them as monkeys all the time. How could you possibly twist your mind to the degree that now a reference to a certain genus of creature
yeah.
is relative to an ethnicity? But that's the dumbing down of America. That is the dishonesty of the left. I don't believe for a minute that Roseanne Barr is a racist. I can't read her mind, and I don't know what she was thinking at the time. But I think the hatred of the left that doesn't level it towards their fellow liberals and yeah. progressives. I mean, Bill Maher's still on the air, and he actually used the word. So there's no rhyme or reason. If you and I tried to examine this and draw a conclusion using logic, we'd get an aneurysm because there's no logic to be found.
Well, you couldn't be more correct. And as you know, I've got five kids. I call them monkeys if they're jumping on the bed all the time. And I don't mean you're little black people. I mean you look like monkeys. I have no, there's no racial reference whatsoever. When it comes to what Roseanne said, you know, I don't go after people because of how they look. I don't think you do either. So
I don't know anybody that does.
Right. So I actually think that she was going after what Valerie Jarrett looks like, not because she thought she was black, but because she doesn't like that. The whole thing started because she started going after George Soros. Roseanne Barr is Jewish. George Soros was a Nazi sympathizer who helped round up Jews and told the story on CBS with a smile. He is worthy of being hated. Well, the Soros is a great buddy and great friend of the progressive left, of the Obamas, and of Valerie Jarrett. So Roseanne is trying to paint Valerie Jarrett in the same clique as George Soros and says something that was ill-advised about what she looks like. It had nothing to do with race. She didn't know. And Ted, and again, I'm going to shut up because it's always better when you're talking and not me. But one last point. The only reason anybody makes a comparison to primates and African Americans is because Democrats for centuries depicted black people as monkeys, apes, and gorillas on their ad campaigns when they were running against the good guys who were the Republicans. The Democrats did this. We somehow have flipped the script and we're pretending the Democrats are the good guys and the Republicans are the racists. It's the most ridiculous thing. It's 180 degrees false. Please take it from
me. Again, truth, logic, and common sense is kryptonite to liberals and Democrats for the most part, if not the entire part. And I think we can sum it up because you and I are not just, we're not just media buddies. We're not just celebrating truth, logic, and common sense on the Joe Pag Show. We're actually friends.
Right.
We're working hard, playing hard, American blood brothers. We abide by the same battle cry and pulse of being the best that you can be and judging people by content of character, nothing else. I have hired hundreds of musicians. I have been honored and privileged and humbled to collaborate and jam and hang with musicians. I mean, I played with B.B. King, Joe.
Yeah, right.
I played with Chuck Berry.
How do they let you on the stage, Ted Nugent, if you're the racist the left wants us to believe you are? That's a simple question to answer. How on earth do they just put their entire morality aside because you're a great guitar player? I think they would have to trust that you aren't that guy.
Well, again, judge content of character. Nothing else. And I, again, here it is 2018.
Yeah.
I suppose you and I could go on a hunt and try to find someone who's a racist. And yeah. I suppose if we went to the demonic Klan gathering, we wouldn't have any trouble finding them.
Right.
But I got to tell you, I know America. It's not racist. I know America. I know Americans. They judge by content of character, never color of skin. Now, I have to admit that when I was weaned and raised on James Brown and Wilson Pickett, that I really, really wanted to be black. I have to admit that, because there's an authority to that black musical heritage. Really is something very, very special there that you and I talked about before.
The thing is, Ted, you know I'm a saxophone player, and you don't know the depths of which I play the saxophone, but I came up on John Coltrane and Cannonball Adderley and Charlie Parker.
Yes, I came up with both of those guys,
my name in Lansing when you met me was Joe Parker. I was named after Charlie Parker. I took his name because of the bebop virtuoso that he was. Sadly, he died at 35 from a heroin overdose, but his mastery of the horn, it excited me, and he was a mentor in death because we had his recordings. The idea that you and I don't celebrate people of all races, and between you and me, don't tell anybody, Ted Nugent, I think musically we certainly lean toward black music more than we do anything else. We're still the racists in the room. Help me understand.
There is no understanding. Don't try to understand. You'll blow up because it's so dishonest. It's so illogical. So here,
but that's
I am,
the way they shut you up, though. They say Ted Nugent's a racist. Ignore him. Ted Nugent is this. Ignore him. Ted Nugent is the other thing. Ignore him. And they will lie on you to minimize you. Let me ask you this very simple. How have you not let that affect you, man? Because by now, a smaller guy would have crawled in a hole. Every day they wake up to attack you.
Well, I'm so happy and so confident that I actually scare myself. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm surrounded by such great, great, loving, caring, dedicated work ethic people, my band, my crew. I guarantee you, this is a phenomenon that I can tell you this, Joe. When I go on the road at the end of June and tour all across America in 2018 doing my 6,700
concerts. Congratulations, man.
I promise you, Pags, it'll be the most fun, enjoyable, intense, out-of-control rhythm and blues rock and roll celebration of my 70 years because of the quality of people that show up, the quality of people that come and play with me. Jason Heartless on drums, Greg Smith on bass guitar. Every guitar player dreams of a rhythm section. My crew, the best crew in the world that works for the greatest artists on the planet. That's how I get through.
Yeah.
I ignore the haters. I take note because we have to be aware of the bad and the ugly in order to maximize the good. But my life and your life and good, decent people's lives are driven by such unlimited positive good that we only fight against the bad and the ugly, but we never, ever let it take a hold of us. And that's the battle cry for equality of the American dream. And it's so simple, even stupid guitar players can figure it out.
And dumb talk show hosts. It's TedNugent.com. Follow him at Ted Nugent on Twitter, at Ted Nugent on Facebook. And just one last question, Ted. And I always appreciate the time, man. It's always so educational and enlightening for me. And you know what? Media Matters watches every word we say, and there'll be some dumb post by Piers Morgan or some idiot after we get done doing this. And you know what? I don't care. But let me ask you about social media. Hey, Ted, have we allowed them to become too powerful? Social media, because Roseanne made a comparison between the Muslim Brotherhood, which Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama love, and the Planet of the Apes, which is a movie about totalitarianism, she dared say that. It was looked at as identity politics, and she was fired because of one tweet. Everybody's reporting it was a racist rant of tweets. It wasn't. It was one tweet. Have we given that frickin' website too much power?
Well, in many instances, it is unjust. We could be here for a couple weeks identifying the examples of the injustice and the hatred and the runaway dishonesty by a fake news media and an entrenched leftist that hates everything good about America. For example, they're all upset about deporting children, Joe, but not aborting children.
Isn't that stunning,
Joe? So I could give you a number of examples, but again, we keep our chin up. There's always been battles. There's always been conflicts. America gives everybody the right to say and perform their own pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. And all I know is that by weeding out the goofballs back in the 60s and 70s, I am surrounded by, and always have been, quite honestly, by the greatest, most positive, giving, caring, work ethic, productive people in the world. By the way, all my friends and band are really, really funny, too. They're funny people. All my kids are really, really funny.
That's cool.
And they're wonderful people. So it's about prioritization, intellectual choices, and making sure you surround yourself with great people. But I think on this note, I think Everybody listened to Joe Pags. Not everybody agrees with everything we say because
right.
some people are too stupid to.
Right.
if you don't agree with anything Joe and I stand for, you need to go and take a deep breath, get off the dope, and maybe go back to school and learn about the evidence and the history that is available to Joe and I, and it's
yeah.
available to you too. But the vast majority of people listening to us right now, Joe, they live by truth, confidence, common sense, positive energy, and logic. And it's alive and well out there, so never, ever back down,
yes,
never,
sir.
Ever compromise with the haters. And I think we proved it in November 2016.
Yep.
We got a president that defies the status quo, that defies the deep state and the corruption and the criminality running amok in the media, academia, Hollywood, Weinstein, and
yep.
certainly so much of our government, everybody on the left. So keep your chin up. Have the greatest summer of your life. Work hard, play hard. Don't text and drive. Stay the hell out of the left lane and put your heart and soul in being the best that you can be, and you will be a happy, happy son of a bitch.
Absolutely right, Ted Nugent. All right, TedNugent.com, at Ted Nugent on Twitter, also on Facebook, and get the tickets to the Music Made Me Do It tour right now. Mr. Uncle Ted Nugent, Mr. Friend of Mine, Mr. Full Blunnel Nugent-y, and the best-selling author that I know, thanks a million. Every single time you come on, you enlighten us like crazy.
Well, thanks, Joe. And you go to my Facebook and witness all the self-evident truth, common sense, and logic that is well out there. And on the Joe Pags Show, thank you, Facebookers. God, do I have some great positive energy people on my Facebook. So that's a good indicator that the social media phenomena can be a boost to truth, logic, and common sense. I salute them all.
We agree, my friend. It's Ted Nugent. We're going to come back right after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Also, many people who are naysayers when it comes to Ted Nugent say that he defecated in his own pants and was, because of illness or psychiatric issues, was then not drafted to go to Vietnam. He completely clears that up. He says it's a voracious lie. And it never happened, not a draft dodger, and he tells the entire story. I've reposted that on my Facebook page. Go to joepags.com, click on Facebook, go check that out. Got to go on TV, back tomorrow, and we'll continue on radio right here. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations all over. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Make sure you stop by. Also, the live video of the third hour is there at joepags.com. Just on the right-hand side of your screen, if you're on a laptop or a desktop, it is just scroll down a little bit. It's down below. If you're listening or watching on a tablet or on a phone, it's all right there. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Wednesday.
Oh yeah, favorite one.
Blah blah whatever. By the way, the new song by Mark Skelton today that I'll play for you. Oh yeah, Marky Mark coming through like a champ. All right, let's let Carrie hear her thing. Can't sing it?
No.
Why? You actually get into it. I think it's kind
best
of funny.
Song. I love it. I love it. It's the best Wednesday song ever.
So you're thanking me for adding it to the rotation, which I didn't have to do.
I am. Yes, thank you. It'd be a lot better if you didn't, you know, sing through it or make your funny noises or.
I made one noise. You know, you're really very stifling. You're like some sort of controlling government. It's horrible. Wait, what are you going to push Obamacare on me next?
No,
it's really horrible.
I will not be doing that, but thank you for
that
playing
that
song.
I'm just trying, to play the song, trying to enjoy it. This is, Mark sent me a note. He said, I had nothing else, guy. He said, I had a good day. I thought, what the hell? And this is called Out in the Country.
1, 2, 3, Joe Pass.
All right, I like how it starts.
Hello, Joe.
Nothing wrong with that, Carrie.
Yeah, that's all right.
I put a radio in the kitchen today.
That's right.
I even met a speaker next to my commode.
What?
I ain't never gonna miss a episode.
Wait a second.
Well, I ain't.
He's on his commode? Listening to me? Why do you think that's funny, Kerry?
I didn't say
anything. I put a stereo in my Chevrolet. I can hear Joe when I'm on my way. Even got something on my tractor, too.
Bring it.
Listening now to you know who.
Playing the corn.
Out in the country.
Everybody.
We love Joe Pags.
Sing it, Carrie.
That's
okay.
Out in the country. We love Joe Pags.
You couldn't bring yourself to say that line, could you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, break it down, Marky Mark. I'm okay with that.
Everywhere, even sitting here in my underwear.
No, get clothes on. No.
I can hear Polo. I can hear Carrie. Karina said she was gonna get married.
Yeah, what is that all about?
Out in the country.
Come on.
We love Joe Pags. Oh, that's right. Out in the country. We love Joe Pags. Jiggle those wires coming in here to the commode and turn up my tweeters.
Why does he have to listen to us on the toilet? I don't understand why we have
listening
to be
listening to
on the toilet. That's right. No, you're right. And he was singing a song about me as he was sitting there doing his business. Well,
yeah,
thank you, Mark. We appreciate
you.
Another excellent song from our unofficial, if he's okay with me today. If he's not, then he's unofficial. musical director for the program. It's Mark Skelton. Mark, thanks a million. We always appreciate you. All right. A lot of people want to be heard. I'm going to go to Morgan Freeman in a little while. You have the story, right?
I do. I'm going to do it all over my phone because my computer just froze up.
What the heck is going on? No, I don't need you to do it right now. I'm just asking you to get it ready.
Okay, phone calls.
But, I mean, seriously.
Can you buy me a new computer?
I'm not as cheap as people think.
No,
but I don't think
really
I have to buy computers at the radio station.
I know, but this is pretty bad, dude.
You know what I mean?
I don't know how old it is, but.
Okay, so they did give us a special Joe Pags studio, which people still think they can go in and do whatever they want.
Mm.
But we have to get the computers updated now.
That'd be
do
nice.
I have to buy you guys laptops?
I think
Polo's
you may.
Like, yeah, buy me a
yes.
laptop.
Yes, I'll go for a laptop, a Joe Pags.
Polo's computers seem to work fine.
I'm down.
Laptop, yeah.
Oh, suddenly you're down.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Polo knows that I prefer Alienware laptops.
True that.
See, look who's involved in the program all of a sudden.
I mean,
mine
is kind of old.
It is old. That's right. You need to spend some of that money, you cheapskate. You need to buy yourself something else. I've got more laptops than I need to have. So maybe we'll see what we can do. Because
you have more laptops than laps.
Exactly. Many more. But then again, in my studio, I've got computer screens everywhere. But having said that, you guys need to have computers that work. I don't want to read off my phone. I read on my phone. Come on.
Hey, I was just trying to do, have to improvise.
Okay. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Lots of people want to be heard on Roseanne. Let's get through some of these phone calls. I appreciate your patience. Tim, what's going on?
For Tim?
Yeah, Tim, what's happening?
Hey, Joe. You got me good there?
You sound great, Tim. Make it happen. Here we go.
All right. Yeah, I got a problem with this thing. I'm not really a Roseanne person. I mean, I don't hate anybody. I'm a person that believes everybody was created by God. I don't think it matters if you're black, you're white, red, whatever. I know a lot of, I'm a white guy. I know a lot of white people that act pretty trashy myself,
Okay.
But here's the bottom line for me. there's a lot of black students in schools, and if I'm not mistaken, I've been paying with my tax dollar forever for people to tell them and my white children that we come from AIDS. So where's the difference on this thing?
Well, you know, a few people have emailed me that, Tim, and it's an interesting concept. So if we're to believe the far left-wing progressive regressive educational system, believe that God did not make us, that we didn't come from Adam and Eve, that we actually came from amoebas and single-cell organisms, and somehow over millions of years, we went through the process of being apes, and then we just continued right on to becoming human beings, calling somebody an ape, no matter what their race happens to be, or ethnicity happens to be, or gender happens to be, if you're following the educational system, it's not that far of a reach to say we all were apes not very long ago. So you're right. But you have to understand it's a double standard. We have to find, and by we, I mean the left in this country, they have to find a way to keep you under control, Roseanne under control, Ted Nugent under control, Joe Pags under control, Carrie Lockey under control. If they don't find a way to do that, then the truth might actually get out, and that scares them because they'll lose the control over the masses.
Have the platform, and so I hope that you will keep preaching on this issue so that black people will quit following the Democratic Liberal Party, which is the ones that are typically involved in preaching this kind of garbage.
Well, I think slowly but surely, Tim, we're good news is on the way, and I appreciate you. Very, very smart black folks are in droves becoming more conservative because it turns out they realize that they've been conservative the entire time. But the left kept telling them, no, we're here for you. Here's food stamps. Here are the projects. Here's Section 8. Here's an EBT card. And all of that continues the control, the urban plantation, the governmental plantation. I don't have any of those things. And I know a lot of black people don't have any of those things. Because the more you're reliant on the government, the less freedom and liberty you have. The more you're reliant on the government, the more control the government has over you. And that's not okay. So with this president, and with anybody who's smart and is conservative and who gets it, we're pushing for more freedom, more liberty, less SNAP, less EBT, less Section 8, less living in the projects or some other governmental housing. We get less of that, you get more freedom, more opportunity, more chances to utilize your ambition, drive, and desire. It's really that simple. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you, the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, back to the phone lines. Love hearing from you. And again, a lot of you have been very, very patient. I appreciate you holding on. It's going to be Gordon in Arizona. Gordon, what's up?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you about that comment Rosie made that at first I thought spot on. But after I thought about it a little bit, I decided that she was very, you know, contentious against the primates, and she should apologize to the primates.
All right, there you go. He held on for a half an hour, Carrie, to bring that funny joke. Uh-huh. That's a funny joke is what that was.
No, it was not.
Funny joke. No. So funny. Let me go back at it, say hello to Larry in Alabama. Larry, what's going on? Hi.
Yes, sir, Joe. This is Larry. I know a little about racism. I lived in Colorado and Germany till I was 16, and I moved to Alabama and went to work in a factory. Into the mid-70s, we still had white and colored bathrooms.
Stop. No, you didn't. Okay. You did not have white and colored bathrooms in the 70s. That's yes. Not true. Maybe it was the late 60s, but it wasn't the 70s.
Yes, because I come out of the Army in 68. And we still had them for a couple of years.
Well, I don't think it ever touched 1970, but Richard Nixon did a great job of desegregating and continuing desegregation and ensuring that that wouldn't happen anymore. But go ahead, tell the story.
Okay, but I came back. I didn't know about. Coming from Colorado, I wasn't brought up on the racism. So I would sit down and have a Coke or something with one of the black workers helping me, and some of the older people. Then they didn't like me until they retired. But I worked there 40 years. I don't believe I ever saw. Now I couldn't see the whole company. There's 3,000 people. I never saw a black and white fighting each other for anything. I would tell them they would have to get their afro cut to put their hard hat on, and they would call me a white cracker. But it was all. It wasn't like nowadays. The racism part, we could joke with each other. And like I said, I worked for 40 years there. But now Obama, he had this 8 years, and he's brought racism back to what it was in the 60s in Alabama. And I just, how people don't understand that and see that. I came back from Vietnam, went to work, I came back to the same place. My two superintendents asked me, did I have to drink after a black person? I said, yeah, I sure did, and I was glad to, and I just soon drink after them as y'all. Of course, I was put on a crummy job and had to go to the VA to get moved where I should have been moved, but that's the way it was then. But we never had any problem with any black workers. I never saw a white person have a problem with a black person. I don't understand it. But then Obama comes in here, and in his 8 years, he's put racism back, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Larry, I want to say a few things before I let you go. And first of all, I appreciate your service. Secondly, I again think you might have your dates wrong. It wasn't important that Nixon was desegregating. What was important is that you're talking about an era in this country after the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Quite legitimately, employers were not allowed by law to have colored and white water fountains and bathrooms. If they were doing that, they were breaking the law. I believe you. I'm just saying that if they were doing that, it was illegal. Having said all of that, the comments that you... I hear you, and I appreciate you, but the comments you made about Obama are spot on. President Obama had the...
66, and we did have white and black bathrooms. They only changed it when some women came in there to work.
Yeah.
They changed them then, and I promise you they were breaking the law, but that's the way...
I got you. No, they definitely were breaking the law, but Larry, let me just finish this before I let you go. President Obama had the opportunity as the first black president in the modern era. He had the opportunity to bring us together better than any other president ever had. He had an opportunity to say, look, this country is so non-racist that a black man can become the leader of not only this country, but of the free world. He had that opportunity, and he purposely squandered it because he believes in anti-colonialism. He believes that we were founded in a bad, bad way and that we're bad, bad people. He also believes that large controlling government can't control the masses unless you divide the masses. He has to have blacks and whites hating each other, Hispanics, blacks, whites hating each other, Asians, blacks, whites, American Indians hating each other. If you have that, it's easier for a totalitarianism sort of mindset, like an Obama, to control the masses and keep the Democrats in power. This is why, seriously, because of Obama, and I appreciate you, thank you, Larry, because of Obama, Trump was able to win. Trump won as a non-politician, as a populist, as a nationalist, and as somebody who said, I understand where you're coming from, and I want all Americans to have America that is great. That's why he won. That's why he beat the biggest political machine on planet Earth and the Clinton machine. We go to Laura in Colorado. Laura, what's going on?
Hi, Joe. You and I danced last week. I wanted to ask you a question. And I'm listening to the first guy who was talking about, like, humans coming from apes. Do you think that's true? Have you read Charles Darwin?
No, I don't think that humans came from apes.
Okay, because you kind of implied that you thought you might.
Well, actually, if you check out Charles Darwin and his theory of evolution. Okay, Laura, I got to tell you, last week I got lit up so much by my listeners because I gave you as much time as I did. I tried to be nice with you, and you talked over me a lot. I tried to be cool with you, and you kept on yelling weird questions at me about media and so on. So, I mean, if you're going to do the same thing, I just won't take your calls anymore.
No, I
want to mix it up with you. No, and I hear you. I want to mix it up with you. I enjoy people who challenge where I am.
About Roseanne.
Well, and that's cool. But again, I like being challenged. If you challenge me on the theory of evolution, Darwin does, in fact, indicate in his theory, you could just look at the picture and not read the entire thing, and you see species or humans on the way up through the evolutionary scale that look an awful lot like apes.
An ancestor in common, and we know for a fact, not ideologically speaking, but we know, and I feel like I'm not yelling at you, that we now, right now,
well, last week you did.
95% of the same DNA as chimpanzees.
Right. So let's say that that's true. I agree with you, but there is a missing link. There is in fact, plenty of reason to believe that we didn't come from amoebas and paramecians and that we didn't come from something that looked kind of like apes. There is a possibility that it should be 100%, not 99.9, and that possibility lies in whatever this missing link is. So either there really is a step that's missing in his evolutionary scale, or we're not related to those people and those beings that he talked about and that he studied.
Right. But
that's the decision you have to make.
What didn't happen is that we didn't just spring into existence 5,000 years ago, as the Bible stipulates.
I don't know that. No, I disagree with you on that.
Snake.
No, I disagree with you on that. I believe the Bible, and so do 2 billion people. And there's a reason why we do. It's something called faith and trust. I have faith that there is a greater power than I. I have faith that there is an intelligent being, an intelligent entity that decided, well, I'm going to create all of this. The idea that you know or that I know exactly what happened is one that we can both reject. We don't. But I do believe
that there is some type of intelligent, direct.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that neither you nor I nor Darwin. What I'm saying is that neither you nor Darwin nor I or anybody listening or watching have any clue how we really got here. Thus, those of us who are religious have faith that the Word of God is telling us the truth.
But nothing wrong with that. I wasn't religious. I just don't go for organized religion. It's a different thing.
And again, I'm not challenging. I'm not calling you an atheist. I'm calling you somebody who believes in evolution, and I'm not. I'm somebody who believes in intelligent design. I think that we did just get placed here.
Out.
Well, I think they are. Unless you think Adam and Eve were amoebas, I think that they are incompatible.
No, that's not true. I mean, there was...
No, it is.
Have you ever read about the Scopes trials?
I did not. But let me say this very clearly. If you believe in evolution, then you believe that we were single-cell organisms to start. I believe Adam and Eve were taken from the Garden of Eden and sent to Earth. I believe that. Now, that might be nuts to you, but it's what I believe.
Yeah, but
and I have faith.
We all came from incest. Does that seem strange?
I love you, Laura, and I want you to continue to challenge me. You are much more respectful tonight. I got to run. I've got 6 seconds to go, and I can't continue. Yes, we're all born of incest. We're all related somehow. All right, keep it right here. Coming back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, Newsmax TV as well. It is the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. And really glad to have back the Republican senator from the great state of Utah. It's Mike Lee. Mike, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you very much.
Really glad to have you back. I'm really very, very interested in reading this book written out of history, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. This is the kind of thing that I think our children and this generation need to understand as we have all of this guilt that we're supposed to walk around with and how horrendous our history is, and minorities weren't included, and women weren't included. You actually prove that wrong in this book, don't you?
Yeah. A lot of our most valuable founders didn't fall into this norm, didn't fall into this category that people describe as being an exclusively white male club. Now, to be sure, everyone who attended the Constitutional Convention was white and male, but there were other founders who have been neglected or forgotten or written out of history, as I put it, who also made an important contribution. And I talk about some of them in my book, including people like Mum Bett. Mum Bett was an African slave who won her freedom following the revolution. She invoked her rights under the Massachusetts State Constitution of 1780, which made clear that all human beings were free and equal. She went into court and sued for her freedom and won it. And by so doing, opened the door for other slaves throughout the country eventually to win their freedom. Even though that took decades to complete, Mom Bett deserves a lot of credit for doing that.
It is Senator Mike Lee, Republican of the great state of Utah. The name of the book is Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. We are taught, or the assumption is, and I don't think that we get any deeper than this in our public school system, which has to be reformed, and I don't know that parents know enough to help, you know, educate the kids at home, but we're taught that the evil white man went and stole all the land from the Native Americans or American Indians, that we said that women are second-class citizens, and we all went to Africa and stole a bunch of people and brought them here as slaves. The truth is much more complex than that, obviously. But it's ignored. Do you think, Mike, that it's ignored because the left needs us to hate our history? They need us to have disdain for who the founders were and how they lived. And if we make a portrait of them in such a way, a caricature in such a way that they were all evil, they were all just pillagers and rapists and horrible people, then we somehow can change this country to be what they want. Is that why we're ignoring these people?
You know, I can't speak for any one individual, but I will say this. It makes it a whole lot easier to push an aggressive, progressive agenda.
Yeah.
If you ignore the stories about our founding, and the best way to ignore them, the easiest way to justify ignoring them, is by poisoning the well, saying that these people weren't worth remembering or right. Something like that. It's one of the reasons I wrote this book, is to help people understand if they know the stories about the founding, about those who really did make an impact, and if they know some of the stories that have been neglected, they can come up with a much greater appreciation for individual freedom and for the values embedded within our constitutional system.
It's Senator Mike Lee, Republican in the great state of Utah. Written Out of History is the book. Go and get it right now. Is it pronounced Conestoga? Tell me about this Iroquois chief that I'd never heard of before I started talking to you.
Yeah, most people haven't, but Conestoga was an Iroquois Indian chief from the Onondaga tribe. And he's significant because he taught Benjamin Franklin about the principle of federalism. Federalism is the notion embraced in the 10th Amendment and implicit in the text of the original Constitution, which says that most power in our system of government remains at the state and local level, where it's close to the people.
Yeah.
Now, federalism, unlike so many other principles of our governing structure, did not come from Britain. This was an American concept. It was a Native American concept. It was rooted, really, in the Iroquois Confederacy, the nations of the Iroquois Confederacy, where these different tribes that came together, they discovered that they could protect themselves and each other better than any one of them could do alone. But they continued to allow each tribe to govern itself on local matters. This was taught to Benjamin Franklin by Conestoga after they became friends after meeting at a conference in Albany in 1744. As we have forgotten about federalism itself, we've also neglected Conestoga. And so my hope is that by bringing his story back in this book, we can restore the principle of federalism.
The name of the book is Written Out of History, the Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. It's Senator Mike Lee. Go and get this right now. I want to go off on a tangent on federalism, if I can, for a second. Mike, first of all, simple question. Do we still have federalism in this country?
You know, we have drifted dangerously from it over the last 80 years. James Madison explained at Federalist 45 that the powers of the federal government are supposed to be few and defined,
yeah,
and those reserved to the states, numerous and indefinite. We've flipped that on its head over the last 80 years. So, yeah, we still have it. We still purport to honor it. But these days, it seems like almost any time there is a big problem that people want to discuss, the first reaction a lot of people have is that Congress should act, that somebody in Washington, D.C. should fix it. Many times when we do that, we only make matters worse, in right. part because we forget about federalism. That's why we need to re-inject it into our national political discourse, and that's part of why I wrote this book.
Well, I don't think that a lot of people even know what it means. Some people think federalism means the federal government takes over. Obviously, it's the opposite. And the reason I ask if it even applies, after the 14th Amendment, it seems that every single argument that's ever made about anything, well, because of the equal justice done under the law, the 14th Amendment says so. So therefore, we can say that abortion somehow is in the Constitution. We can say that health care somehow is in the Constitution. We can say that applying our immigration laws isn't necessary because some federal oversight committee, some government, some Obama can tell the Department of Justice ignore the laws. It's almost as if the Constitution doesn't matter. The 10th Amendment certainly doesn't matter. We can somehow pretend that everything that bothers the progressive left generally is somehow covered by the Constitution. How do you battle that?
Well, you battle it by starting to address the facts. Look, the truth is there's nothing in the 14th Amendment, not the Equal Protection Clause to which you refer or any other aspect of it. None of that nullifies the 10th Amendment. None of that nullifies the presumption that unless something is made federal by the Constitution, that it's reserved to the people to be exercised at the local and state level.
Right.
One of the problems with it is the interpretation of the Commerce Clause, the part of the Constitution that gives Congress the power to regulate trade or commerce between the states and the foreign nations.
Right.
Over the last 80 years, that's been interpreted to include basically any economic activity or anything that substantially affects interstate commerce. But if that's open-ended, if you can regulate just about anything with that, then there's nothing left of the 10th Amendment, and that surely cannot be the case. That's why what really matters is for people to start re-injecting this constitutional discussion into our national political discourse. The Constitution and principles of federalism need to be part of conversations we have with candidates for any federal political office.
Agreed.
We need to know where they stand on the extent of federal power.
The name of his book is Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. It's Republican, U.S. Senator Mike Lee from the great state of Utah. Mike, to that end, I want to bring up gay marriage because this is completely federal or a federalist issue, a 10th Amendment issue. Marriage is not covered in the Constitution whatsoever. So what the progressive left does is, well, with abortion, they say that's a privacy issue. You can't touch it, even though abortion doesn't appear in the Constitution at all. Gay marriage or marriage in and of itself doesn't appear in the Constitution either. But the 14th Amendment says states can't have their constitutions define that marriage is between one man and one woman. So as you see, although they love the First Amendment, the rest of the Constitution is just written by a bunch of racist white guys, racist and homophobic white guys, and that we should all ignore it. Can we really hold true with what the Constitution is supposed to do in restricting the government's ability to control us as a people? The push is to get rid of it. You know that, but you and Ted Cruz and others are fighting really hard to stop it. Can we stop it?
Sure. We can stop it. The best way to stop it is through elections, by electing different people. And ultimately, this can be an issue that on which some liberals and some conservatives can agree. For example, there are a lot of people in Vermont who would much prefer to have a single-payer, government-run, government-funded healthcare system.
Right.
I would disagree with them. It's one reason why I'm not likely to live in Vermont. But they ought to be able to do that as they might see fit.
Right.
And if the federal government weren't occupying so much space in the healthcare arena, it might well be that the people of Vermont could have their wish. That's one of the reasons why we've got to have this renewed discussion about the fact that more people can get more of the kind of government they want and less of the kind of government they don't want if they'll start respecting federalism once again.
Well,
respecting the right to govern locally.
The problem that we're having, though, is that Vermont doesn't just want it for Vermont. They say not only do we want it here, but we're going to force you to do it, too, because it's the right thing to do. It's a very strange high road they're on as they're denigrating how we were founded.
No, that's right. That's right. And that's why we have to call that out as absurd. And it's why we have to call that out as being contrary to the principles of liberty and equality upon which our country was founded.
On the ideas of greater powers for the states, which is exactly what we've been talking about. And I find it so interesting. And I thank you for going off on that tangent. Tell me about Elbridge. Is it Gary or Jerry?
It's pronounced Gary. A lot of people think it's pronounced Jerry because of the term gerrymandering,
right,
which was attached to him as governor when he was governor of Massachusetts in 1812. But Elbridge Gerry is a fascinating character, one of the people I reintroduce in this book, Written Out of History. Elbridge Gerry was one of only seven who signed the Declaration of Independence who were also present at the Constitutional Convention. Of those seven, he was the only one who refused to sign his name to the Constitution.
Wow.
He did so because he thought it needed to contain a Bill of Rights. He aggressively pushed the idea of including a Bill of Rights in the Constitution. And when that was rejected in Philadelphia, he decided to vote against it. But Elbridge Gerry was a huge champion for individual liberty and for local and state authority, and that's one of the reasons why I included him in this book.
It's written out of history, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. His name is Mike Lee. He's the Republican senator from the great state of Utah. Mike, it's always a pleasure and an education to talk to you. Can we do it again?
I would love to. Pleasure is mine. Thank you.
Okay, we'll do it again very soon. Senator, thank you. We're back after this in the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks to Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Lots of people calling in. I do want to get to the Morgan Freeman story, Carrie, if you don't mind. Let's put that out there. And by the way, go and get Mike Lee's book, Written Out of History. What an incredibly interesting look at our history that we just don't know. I mean, we just didn't learn in school. So make sure everybody goes and gets that, Written Out of History by Senator Mike Lee. All right, Carrie, so Morgan Freeman says, I'm not going to sit back and take this, and he's going after CNN.
That's right. From Yahoo Entertainment, Morgan Freeman isn't taking these sexual harassment allegations lightly. A lawyer for the 80-year-old Oscar-winning actor is demanding CNN issue a retraction for its report accusing Freeman of inappropriate behavior, but the network is not backing down. Yahoo Entertainment obtained a copy of the 10-page letter from Robert M. Schwartz addressed to Jeff Zucker, president of CNN, which says the outlet has defamed Mr. Freeman. CNN has inflicted serious injury on his reputation and career, the letter states. At a minimum, CNN immediately needs to issue a retraction and apologize to Mr. Freeman through the same channels and with the same level of attention that is used to unjustly attack him. The attorney's letter alleges the report has already had devastating consequences for the Shawshank Redemption actor. Mr. Freeman's being viewed in the global court of public opinion as someone akin to notorious harassers and accused rapists, such as Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey, the letter reads. CNN had no justification for doing that. It also notes those who work with Freeman have felt the need to distance themselves. The damage CNN has inflicted is real, and given Mr. Freeman's career and many motion picture and television commitments, it is substantial, the letter continues. If CNN has any decency or any allegiance to journalistic integrity, it will immediately retract the article and issue a public apology to Mr. Freeman.
I can't see the leg that CNN is standing on. Do you know the reporter's name off top of your head? Is it in that story?
Let me keep going. I don't think.
I can't think of her name. I'd never heard of her before. That doesn't mean that she's not good. She might be great. I don't watch CNN, so I wouldn't know. Here's the story that she told. And remember, Polo reported this last week, and we talked about this last week. She says she was 6 months pregnant. She says she walked in. Freeman, I don't give her a look or something. She says she sat down. Freeman looks at her stomach and says, I wish I was there. And then, I guess as he's leaving, he says, man, you are ripe. Now, she, to her own fault, goes on CNN with another person, I guess, who's accusing him of something. She says, oh, we found the tape. Oh, we found the tape. And there you see, it's Michael Keaton. Is it Alan Arkin? Is that who it is? The other one? The three of them were in a movie together. Mm-hmm. And Morgan Freeman. Michael Morgan Freeman sitting in the middle. Michael Keaton is camera right. I'm looking to my right to
Michael
see
Caine.
Him. I'm sorry. Did I say Keaton? Yeah, Caine. Michael Caine. I think it was Alan Arkin. Could be wrong about that one. And Morgan Freeman. Freeman's in the middle. So she's talking to Michael Caine. And Michael Caine's saying, well, what happened was, you know, since that, I never asked another person, you know, if she was pregnant, because I'm not going to make that mistake again. And Morgan Freeman says to that statement, I wish I was there. Not to the reporter, maybe so that she heard him say it, but about the story. I'll give a quick story, and I've told the story before on this show. We ran a pizza place, Delray Beach, Florida, Demos Pizza. It was right next door to Atlantic High School that was on Seacrest Avenue in the day. It's not now, it's somewhere else, but that's where it was. And right next door was Demos. There was a coach who would come over. She was a PE teacher, woman, and she would get a sandwich every day or a salad every day. She was awesome. We talk, hey, how you doing? You know, how's the weather? Whatever. No, no deep talk, just whatever. She became pregnant. And, hey, how you doing? How's that going? And how's it working? What's the story? And then one day she walked in and I said, hey, when are you going to have that baby? And she says, I had the baby 3 months ago.
Hmm.
And I went, you know what I mean? You know? So Michael Caine was telling a similar story. He was asking somebody about her pregnancy, and she'd already had the baby, or was asking, are you pregnant or are you with child? And the woman was not, which is a very embarrassing thing to ask if the woman is not.
Yeah.
So he said, I will never do that again. And to that, Morgan Freeman says, I wish I was there to see him make a fool of himself. Carrie, did you watch the video?
I did.
Does it appear to be what I just described?
Yes. That's what I thought.
What is CNN, what is their stance?
I don't know on this one, unless there's more to that videotape. But the one that you just described, that's how it happened.
And she says, look at his eyes when he says it. He was looking at her to make sure that she was getting the funny thing he was saying, which she didn't get because she's a millennial who believes that all people are bad and that she's a victim. Pop culture. Boop.
Dirty pop.
I pull, make it happen.
All right, so I know you're going to give me crap, but I had to go there.
Come on, dude.
Did you see who went to go see the president today?
I did.
All right, so Kim Kardashian West was visiting the president today because I guess she's trying to help this woman named Alice Marie Johnson because she's locked up in prison and she's trying to get her life sentence commuted. So I guess they're saying that the meeting went well, extremely well, excuse me, and that they'll now meet with Jared Kushner, who's been very passionate and hands-on with Alice's possible pardon and criminal justice.
We'll see what happens. I very quickly have to give the headlines by the New York Post. Trump meets Rump. Kim Thong-un.
I saw that.
Kim Summit at the White House.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. We got to go. For Carrie, for Karina, for Polo, for Sam. Pag, see you tomorrow.
This is the Joe Pag Show.